See him here this morning. And you can be seated. If you don't have a Bible and you'd like a Bible, our ushers, they'll be in the aisles now. You can lift up your hands and they will give you a Bible. Amen. If you don't have a Bible at all, now you do. That one is yours to keep. If you don't have a Bible, or if you have a Bible and you just for whatever reason couldn't bring it this morning, you can give back your Bible to the ushers at the end of the service. Take those Bibles and open them up with me to the book of Zechariah. I know that sounds intimidating, but it's actually pretty easy to find. You can go to Matthew and then go back two books of the Bible and you will run into Zechariah. Zechariah chapter 4. And we're going to look at a verse of Scripture here in verse 6. Zechariah chapter 4, and we're going to look at a verse of Scripture here in verse 6. I want to encourage everyone, while you're turning, don't forget about our food drive. It's a canned food drive, and that simply means everyone can bring a can. And so I want to encourage you to go out to your grocery store, whether it's Walmart or Kroger or Sam's or whatever, and get as many cans as you can bring, and bring them up here to the church, and we're going to distribute them to people who need it. Yeah, I was reading in the book of Acts this past week, and if you read the first couple of chapters, you see God just big in the church. I mean, God doing some big things. And through that, you see that one of the things that he did was put the true spirit of Christianity within the hearts of people. And what I mean by that is you see people helping people on scales that I've never seen take place. I mean, you see people sell their homes. I mean, just flat out sell their homes, bring the money up to the church and distribute it to people who need it. You see people who own lands go out and sell the lands and bring the money to the church to distribute to perfect strangers just simply out of love, just simply out of compassion. And friends, I'm telling you, the closer we get to God in our Christian walk and the deeper we dive into Christianity, the more your heart of compassion will open. I mean, it'll open. And it'll open to people that you've never met. It'll open to people that you don't know their names. You just want to be good to people. You just want to show kindness and mercy to people. Your heart stops when you see them on the side of the road. You know, on Wednesday nights, we've been talking about growing up spiritually. And we set a key sign that you can look at in your heart to see whether or not you're growing spiritually or not, is that when you grow spiritually, compassion will start replacing judgment. And friends, it's the absolute truth. The more you grow with God and the more you walk with God, you're not judging people anymore. You got a heart of compassion towards them. And friends, I want to encourage you, open up that heart of compassion as much as you can. Think about people who need food, people who are out there who are hungry. And when you go through the grocery store, or even if you make a trip just to go get it, that's even better. But go out and bring some cans and bring them up here. Open up that heart of compassion and let's help some people who need some help. Amen? We are a strong church. Amen. And the strong do something. They bear the burdens of the weak. Well, somebody said, well, I feel pretty weak right now. No, let the weak say I'm strong. Amen. You're strong. So bear the burdens of the weak. Well, I can't do much. You can bring a can. I know that for sure. You can bring a can. If you don't buy a can, I guarantee you, you got a can in your pantry. Bring the can that you can bring and let's be a blessing. Zechariah chapter 4. And let's read here in verse 6. Zechariah chapter 4 and verse 6. It says, then he answered and spoke unto me, saying, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Who art thou, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel, thou shalt become a plain. And he shall bring forth the headstone, therefore, with shoutings, crying, grace, grace unto it. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, the hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house. His hand shall also finish it. I like that. And thou shalt know that the Lord of hosts has sent me unto you. For who hath despised the day of small things? For they shall rejoice and shall see the plummet in the hand of Zerubbabel with those seven that are the eyes of the Lord, which run to and fro throughout the whole earth. We see the word of the Lord come unto Zerubbabel, and he says some things. We'll start backwards and work our way to the front. He says, don't despise the day of small beginnings. Don't despise or belittle the day of small things. And friend, that's the absolute truth. I don't care how small your life is right now, God can turn it into something great. I was reading a book the other day and came across the story of Marie Callender. How many of you have ever seen Marie Callender's pies or food in your grocery? Well, they even got Marie Callender restaurants, and she's everywhere. Well, you know how she started? She was a little waitress working for a restaurant, just a low-paying job. I'm sure it was minimum wage. And her boss, and they were short on help, demanded that she come in early and make desserts for the rest of the day. And it wasn't any extra pay. It was just basically, if you want to keep your job, you'll come in here in the mornings and make desserts for the rest of the day. Well, she just didn't like that at all. But she felt like she had no other alternative. So she went in there and started to learn how to bake. Started making pies. Well, the more people who tasted those pies, the more they wanted them. Finally, she launched out and bought her own little bakery equipment where she could make the pies at her house. Went from there to a store. Went from there to more stores. Went from there to your supermarket. Don't despise the day of small beginnings. Just because it seems small right now doesn't mean God wants to leave it that way. And so that's one of the words of the Lord that was instruction unto Zerubbabel. It's the same thing to you. God can take anything in your life that seems small and turn it to something great. If you learn to do something. Well, what do you got to learn to do? He says that the mountain that's in front of you, the Amplified, I like this, shall be brought down to a molehill. Basically, from small to great, you got to scale some heights. And he says that mountain that's in front of you, it shall be made into a molehill, shall be made into a plain by shouting, grace, grace unto it. Well, what does grace do? Grace makes that which is hard easy. It's the grace of God whereby with we are saved. And friends, I can't think of too many things easier than salvation. Believing with your heart and saying with your lips that Jesus is the Lord of your life, you're born again. Well, it's not by works that you're saved, it's by grace. Grace makes things easy. And so he's saying, Zerubbabel, don't despise the day of small beginnings. It can turn into something great. Well, what about this mountain in front of me that would stop that from happening? He says, Zerubbabel, that mountain shall become a plain by shouting, grace, grace unto it. But the first key is the key to the whole thing. And if you can understand what the word of the Lord said unto Zerubbabel there in verse 6, friend, there's almost nothing you can't accomplish in this life. I'm telling you, it's a whole different way of living. I was driving on Tuesday. I was driving up Lakeland Drive, coming up to the church. And as I was driving, I was just praying. And in my heart, these words just came up to me. It doesn't have to be hard. It doesn't have to be hard. Well, what doesn't have to be hard? Anything. Life doesn't have to be hard. Increasing your business doesn't have to be hard. Stepping into your calling doesn't have to be hard. Being married, raising children, it doesn't have to be hard. Increasing in a decreasing economy, it doesn't have to be hard. It doesn't have to be hard. And there are things that we do that make it hard. And one of those things is not the only thing, but one of those things I want to communicate this morning. I feel the Lord's put it on my heart to say. One of those things is you got to learn to be patient. And I got to learn to be patient. It's by faith and patience we inherit the promises. I'll put it to you this way. I'm getting a little out ahead of myself, but it's okay. It's one thing for the Lord to add something to you. I mean, when the Lord adds something to you, the blessing of the Lord maketh rich and adds no sorrow. I mean, when the Lord adds something to you, it just flows, it's easy, and there's no sorrow tied to it. Well, what causes sorrow? Events. If you find someone who's sorrowful, they're going through an event. I call it drama. Something's happening in their life that's producing sorrow. Sorrow doesn't just come. Sorrow is always attached to an event. That event creates struggle. It creates frustration. It creates stress. And attached to all of that is sorrow. And when the Lord blesses us and when the Lord adds something to us, He adds it with no struggle to it. He adds it with no sorrow to it. He adds it with no test and mess to it. When the Lord adds it, He adds it with no sorrow. It's one thing for the Lord to add something to you. It's a whole nother thing for you to add something to yourself. It's one thing for you to do something through the power of the Lord. And it's a whole nother thing for you to do something through your own power. And friends, I'm telling you, 99.9% of the world operates like Zerubbabel was operating. Let me give you a little background on Zerubbabel. I'm glad I'm not named Zerubbabel. If your name is Zerubbabel, I am sorry. Zerubbabel was commissioned by the Lord to build a temple. I mean, he's got it on his heart to build a temple for the Lord. And he goes out there to start building it. And of course, the first thing you do with any building is you start laying the foundation. And so that's what he does. He lays the foundation. But it seems like as he's laying this foundation, everything rises up to stop him. Funds dry up. People start coming against him. And this is frustrating the mess out of him. It frustrates him so much that he does exactly what the Lord told him not to do. He despises the day of small beginnings. He backs off from it. He quits pressing forward with the Lord. And he goes back and starts trying to do it in his own might. And trying to do it in his own strength. And that led to even more frustration. And for 10 years, this temple sat there with nothing but the foundation. He can't do it. He's tried everything in his own strength, in his own might, but nothing's working. And finally, God sends the man of God to him, Zechariah. And he says unto Zerubbabel, fella, it's not by might and it's not by power. But if you're going to do this, it's going to have to be done by the Spirit of the Lord. Because the Spirit of the Lord can make a mountain into a molehill. The Spirit of the Lord can bring grace and grace and more grace to your life. The Spirit of the Lord can take small things and turn them into something great. But you got to learn how to do it by the Spirit. So here Zerubbabel is. He's frustrated. He's done everything in his own power. It's produced little results. He's tired. He's been working on something for 10 years and hasn't gotten any further with it. That sound like anybody you know? Working and working, but it seems like no headway's being made. Not by might. Not by power. It's by the Spirit of the Lord. See, what happens is, and I've had it happen in my life, is we want things. And we want it when we want it. I mean, we wanted it yesterday. And whether it's, you know, someone trying to get married, or someone trying to have kids, or someone desiring a new home, or someone desiring a new car, or someone desiring a business to grow, or someone desiring something new to take place in their life, promotion or whatever it is. Oftentimes, that desire makes us do something. And what it makes us do is step out of God's timing. See, to everything there's a time. Ecclesiastes chapter 3. To everything there is a time. To everything. And it closes it all out by saying, and God makes everything beautiful in His time. God's got a time for it. I know out the other day I was walking out in the area where we're going to build phase 2. And I was talking to the Lord about building. You know, how do I go about building this? When do I go about building it? And as I was walking, my foot hit this thing that was coming up from the ground. I looked down and it was just the edge of something metal. And I reached down and started fooling with it. It was underneath the dirt. And it was an old hammer. I mean, it was good looking in a rustic way. Just dirt and mud built up all over it, but it was old looking. You could tell this wasn't fabricated in some type of machine. This was handmade. I mean, it's a good looking hammer. And it was the Lord used that to just speak to my heart of when you build, I'm going to build it with you. And so I took it back and was showing it to some of the guys in the back room, and one of them's just really, really handy. And he took it and put it in this metal frame and gave it to me today. I mean, it's gorgeous. It's a work of art. And anyway, he had it laying there on my desk, and I opened it up. And when I did, I was reminded of another piece of metal. It's a metal beam right back there that I signed when we did our walking deal, because I knew my little speaker's room would be back there when we were building the church. And I can remember writing Habakkuk chapter 2. Though the vision tarry, wait for it. Wait for it. Don't try to just sit there and make it happen. See, you can get in a lot of trouble being a pusher. See, that's some people's personality. Some people just like to push. You know, they're a pusher. We get the job done. Strike while the iron's hot. I mean, we're just going to push it. And don't get me wrong, there's some great sides to that. I mean, when the Lord's putting it on your heart to do something, you've got to persevere. And you've got to have that type of mentality. But if we're not careful, that can roll over in life. And we'll start pushing against everything, trying to make change. And the Lord's sitting up there saying, the vision is for an appointed time. And you can try to build this yourself, but in building it, all of your labor is going to be in vain. We got to learn to wait on the Lord for His timing. We got to learn to wait on the Lord for His plan. See, we want it so fast. We want it so quick. I've seen that in my own life. I mean, I think it's funny, Zerubbabel had a foundation for 10 years. For 10 years, this piece of property sat unfinished. And I mean, at any time, the frustration rises up. You want to build it. But friends, you got to learn to wait on the Lord. Go over to the book of John. The book of John. It's one thing for God to add something to you. It's a whole nother thing for you to add something to you. Book of John, chapter 6. And let's look here in verse 14. Then right after this, we're going to go to John chapter 7. There is no more successful enterprise that this world has ever known than the kingdom of God. You understand that? There is nothing more successful. It has endured the test of time. I guarantee you it has taken in more revenue than any nation or any business known to man. It has affected more life change than any other thing. And it's the one thing that keeps growing. Government stalls, business stalls, banks stall. Businesses are here today, gone tomorrow. But the kingdom of God has been the one thing that's constantly expanded and will keep expanding until it takes over the whole earth. So if you want to learn how to be successful, it's good to read the story of Walmart. It's good to read the story of Sears. It's good to read all of these things to learn from. But friends, I'm telling you, if you really want to learn how to make something grow and last, study how Jesus started the kingdom. And I want you to see something very peculiar about Jesus' life. What was Jesus' job here on the earth? To establish the kingdom of God, to ratify it in the earth. I mean, to start something that would take over the whole earth with such fame and popularity that it would draw men unto himself. And you see Jesus step up in the book of John, and he's doing things that the world has never seen. I mean, he's turning water into wine. He's feeding thousands and thousands of people. And with that comes fame, and with fame comes pressure to make things keep growing. And under this pressure, I want you to see what starts happening to Jesus. Watch here in John chapter 6 and verse 14. It said, then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, it was when Jesus fed the multitudes. When they had seen that miracle, Jesus said, this is of the truth, the prophet that should come into the world. Now watch this in verse 15. When Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force to make him a king, he departed again into a mountain himself alone. Well, what's his job description? He is to be the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And you got some people here, they're seeing the miracles he wants to do, and he is doing. So guess what they want to do? They want to make him a king. Jesus sees it. I mean, you take any ministry, or you take any business. I mean, it's going greater than it's ever before, and people are saying you need to do more. You need to have more. Let's go after more. And Jesus realized it's not time yet. Remember what he told his mother? My hour's not yet come. He made phrases like that a lot. He'd heal someone and then tell them, don't go into the city and tell anyone. Why? He knew what the fame would do. That fame would create pressure for him to get out ahead of God. He was patient. Was he going to take over the whole world? Yes, he was. It's still going today. But he knew right then and there, this is not time yet. Go over to the book of John. I'll give you another witness in the mouth of two or three witnesses. Let every word be established. Book of John chapter 7. John chapter 7 and look at verse 1. It said, and after these things, Jesus walked in Galilee, for he would not walk in the Jewry because the Jews sought to kill him. Now the Jews' feast of tabernacles was at hand, and his brethren there said unto him, depart hence and go into Judea, that thy disciples also may see us the works that thou doest. For there is no man that doeth anything in secret, and he himself seeketh to know all things openly. If thou do these things, show yourself to the world. His brethren are coming up to him saying, Jesus, you're doing all of these miracles, but they're all being done in secret. I mean, your goal is to take over the world, right? Get out there and start doing these miracles openly. Let the world see it. And watch what Jesus says to him. Verse 6, and Jesus said unto them, my time is not yet come, but your time is always ready. The world cannot hate you, but it has hated me because I testify of it that the works thereof are evil. Go ye up into the feast. I go not up yet unto the feast, for my time is not yet full come. And when he said these words unto them, he abode still in Galilee. Notice, Jesus says, it's not time yet. I know I'm going to get there eventually. I know one day I'm going to go up, and I know one day I'm going to be the King of Kings, and all the world is going to know my name, but it's not time yet. It's not time yet. Friend, I'm telling you, there is such wisdom in this. You got to know what to get in and what not to get in. You got to know who to be around and who not to be around. And you can't succumb to the pressure of this world and start trying to force things in your life. Well, I want a new house. Why? I want a new car. Why? Wait on the Lord. See, you remember Israel? Way back in the day, they were set up and being ruled by prophets and judges. And they came out and said, we want a king. Well, why do you want a king? Well, all the other nations got a king. I mean, they got a king over there, and they got a king over there, and my neighbor's got a king over here, and I want a king. And Jesus said, no, I'm your king. And they said, we want a king we can see. And so he told the prophet, he said, go tell them. I'll give them their request, but it's going to send leanness unto their souls. He said, tell them, with that king comes a whole bunch of other things other than a face. Friends, we have to learn when to step out and do things and when to hold back. We got to learn to be patient and wait on the Lord. Those that wait on the Lord renew their strength. Those that wait on the Lord will walk and not be weary. Those that wait on the Lord will run and not faint. Those that wait on the Lord will rise up on the wings of eagles. That word wait doesn't mean just to pray. It means exactly what it says it does. Wait. In fact, that word wait means to be twisted together and binded. Meaning, when God moves, you move and not a second before. You're twisted together with Him. And when He steps out, you step out. But when He stays steady, you stay steady. You can't fall into this pressure of just trying to get more. No, friend. If God's putting on your heart to step out and do it, then bless God, follow Him. Go after it. But until that time, wait on the Lord. I was talking to a lady. It was the wife of the guy who built this church. And they've built a lot of churches. All around America. Just a very successful established company. And I was asking them about growing the business. You know, we've got business owners in the church, and even if you're not growing a business, you should be desiring to grow in your career. And so that's one of the things I'm always fascinated with. I always have been, ever since a child, is how do you go about doing it? And so I was asking them, how did you go about being an employee at a church to owning a company that's building churches? And they said they got out in the company and were starting to build some works for the Lord. And she said she was praying one day, and the Lord spoke unto her heart, and they said this was the turning point for their business. Not by the flesh anymore, but it'll be done by the Spirit. It'll be done by the Spirit. And they knew what that meant. That it's not just pushing your company over on people. You can grow a business that way. Many people have. It's not just pushing yourself over upon people, exercising your will to get something. Not done by the flesh. It'll, from now on, let it be done by the Spirit. Spend more time over in prayer and be at the places the Lord tells you to be at. Spend more time in prayer and send out the advertisement the Lord tells you to send out. And so I can testify that it worked for them. I can remember Janet, our financial director, was with me. We went up to continue an education seminar, and we took a whole bunch of our employees and a whole bunch of even volunteers in the church up to Rhema to continue our education on church and those types of things. And we were sitting in a builder's meeting, and this man stepped up. I'd never heard of him, never seen him before, steps up and starts talking about how to build a church. And I kid you not, as he's talking, the Lord speaks to my heart, He's going to build your church. I guarantee you it has to be at least one of the top five church sales that company has ever had. When you build, He's going to build your church. And so we left, and about a year passed by, and I woke up one morning and knew it was time to build. First phone call I made was to them to interview. Went up there, interviewed them. Then I did due diligence to go around to other companies and interview them as well. But I couldn't get out of my heart, these are the people who are supposed to build my church. It was done by the Spirit. It wasn't done by the arm of the flesh. I never saw an advertisement from them. Never heard of the name, never saw the building. It just, you couldn't get away from it. When I build, that's what I need to build, use to build the church. What was that? It was done by the Spirit. Friend, I'm telling you, we got to learn to live this way. It's not done by the flesh. You can do it, but it's going to lead to sorrow and pain. You can add anything to your life, you won't add it to it, but it's going to cost you. Or you can sit back, be patient with God and wait on the Lord and say, God, I want to be in your timing. I want to be in your plan. I want to do things according to your strength. Father, help me be at the right place at the right time. There's a story. I'll close with this. Go over to the book of 2 Samuel. You all know this story with David. David was a man mightily used by the Lord. And he had everything in life that you could possibly want. But he saw one thing he wanted. You know, it was Bathsheba. And that got him into a world of hurt. And then after he had Bathsheba, she wound up pregnant with his child. And so he wound up killing her husband. Not fun stuff. Not good stuff. I think it's interesting that God still called him a man after his own heart. What mercy our Father has. But anyway, watch this. After all of this happens, they come to him. And where am I? I'm in 1 Samuel. 2 Samuel chapter 12 and verse 7. After all this happens, Nathan the prophet comes to David and tells him a story about a rich man having everything and a poor man having one little lamb, and the rich man coming and takes the one little lamb that the poor man has. And this kindles David's anger. He says, who is the man? Let him die. And Nathan speaks unto him and says, you're the man. And that's not a good, he wasn't saying, you're the man. No, you're the man. Verse 7, watch this. And Nathan said to David, thou art the man. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I anointed thee king over Israel, and I delivered thee out of the hand of Saul. Watch this. I gave thee. Who's doing all this for David? The Lord has done this for David. The Lord, I love it where he talks about it in 2 Samuel, I believe, chapter 30. He tells him, I'm the one who took you from a little shepherd boy to leading all of Israel. I'm the one who added all these things to you. And the Lord's telling him this too. I'm the one who delivered you from Saul. I'm the one who helped you kill the giant. And he goes through all of this in verse 7. Then verse 8, watch this. He says, and I gave thee thy master's house. I gave it to you. And thy master's wives into thy bosom. I gave it to you. And gave thee the house of Israel. God gave it to him. God added it to him. And of Judah. Now watch this. I love this. And if that would have been too little, I would have moreover have given unto thee such and such things. What is he saying? He's saying if what I gave you wasn't enough, I could have added anything else to you. But you saw something you wanted. Your flesh spoke to you so loud that you went out and tried to add something to yourself, and now it's come back to bite you. Oh, the Lord was telling David, I would have added anything to your life you wanted. And friend, it's the same way with you. God wants to add things to your life. And I guarantee you, anything that's causing frustration in your life right now, chances are it's something you added to yourself. It's your Ishmael. Getting out in front of God, trying to add something fast, trying to add something quick. And so you do it in your own strength. And God's saying, I got an Isaac waiting for you if you'll just be patient with me. Friends, I'm telling you, one of the greatest words of advice I can give you is just be patient. Let God add it to you in His time. When He puts it on your heart to do something, yes, pursue it with all of your might. But don't move until God tells you to move. Wait on the Lord and let it be done by the Spirit and not done by the flesh. Amen. Amen. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Joe, you've been a wonderful audience.